Hi, I'm Josh.
Hi, I'm Austin.
Justin.
Hey guys, have you seen Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
Nope.
Oh, well, that's been a while. My movie and both of you haven't seen it.
Caught in the Sandlerverse for a while there.
Yeah, we've managed to escape for now.
This isn't starring Adam Sandler.
No.
He's not even on the poster, as far as I know.
So, if you haven't seen the show before, what we do is people who haven't seen them. In this time, Justin and Austin, I'll ask them what they think it's about. Oh, I'm pretty sure this one's a little soured because I think both of you have an inkling of what kind of a movie this is. But I'll ask you to anyway. What do you think Jiro Dreams of Sushi is about?
I kind of want to bring
Yeah.
something like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs to the table.
Okay.
Like maybe he dream it's a psychological horror, kind of like Spiral, another movie you brought to the table. And it's Jiro dreams of sushi one night, and when they wake up, sushi has gone bad and it's out to
Oh,
get
like
you.
evil.
Evil sushi, yeah. What do you think,
What about
Justin?
you, Justin?
I think that it's going to be a documentary about a sushi chef.
Fair guess.
I mean, it's either a Japanese psychological horror, a food documentary, or a Pixar movie, and I don't remember seeing
Yeah,
this.
based on what I've put up, yeah.
Oh, maybe it's a Pixar movie documentary.
I'd be okay with a Pixar
Oh,
movie about
that'd be
sushi.
awesome if Pixar just made a like a mockumentary.
No, not even a mockumentary. They literally follow
Just
somebody
a real
around
documentary.
and then
They just animate
reanimate it.
everything.
Yep, exactly. I'm
Wow,
down.
that'd be neat.
Like the Neil Armstrong story told by Pixar.
Right?
Oh, if that gets made in the next couple of years, I'm suing
Seeing him
them.
just like his like cute pixelated version, pixarized version of
There
him
ain't no
smoking.
pixelization, not even since Toy Story 1.
I know, Pixarization. I
Yeah.
knew that.
It'll
I
be
was
like
too busy thinking
Wall-E.
of Adam Sandler movies, sorry.
Stuck with us. So, Jiro dreams of sushi. Yeah, it's probably not going to be a nightmare. But our last movie you brought that was kind of like this was a struggling chef looking to start their own restaurant. And it kind of took its time and it didn't have a resolution. It was a strange format for a
I
documentary.
think you'll like this one a little more.
I'll get a little bit more specific since this one says it's Jiro dreams of sushi. So maybe again, it's like about a guy who wants to be a sushi chef, and it's like
It's like his rise to fame.
him learning with the trade.
Josh does have really niche movies. Not only is it documentary food centric, but it's also struggling.
Maybe we'll see if it hits all those notes.
I mean, how struggling can they be if they're having a documentary made about them?
Hey, you want to see some documentaries about struggling people? Oof.
I know, but
They're out there. I think this is going to be a lot of
for
fun.
this,
I
you
want to
get
see a
like.
lot of close-up shots of sushi. I think that'll be really pretty. I grew up near the ocean, eating a lot of fish. I
I was gonna say, do you
appreciate
guys like
seafood.
sushi at
I
all?
love it.
Nope, not a sushi
Since we live in the desert now, most of the times when I get sushi, it's the cooked or the no fish included, just the vegetarian one.
You're not going to eat raw fish from New Mexico?
It depends. You know, there's places that...
I don't blame you. I wasn't trying... I wouldn't either.
That gas station
We're
sushi.
In a desert. We don't have fresh fish.
No, you can...
I guess we do, but...
Yeah,
very specific places.
Irradiated with plutonium. It's like Blinky from The Simpsons has got three eyes.
Yeah, everybody knows that the only fish we have lives in the White Sands. They're land fish.
Yeah, it's like the rivers have eyes.
Yeah.
Josh, have you ever seen The Hills Have Eyes?
No, or nor The Hills Have Eyes 2.
Or the remake of The Hills
or
Have
the remake.
Eyes?
No, I've not seen it. I haven't heard much about them either. Like, I am aware of them, but not
that
much
first,
more than that.
The first remake's a lot of fun. The original's really gross and dirty, and just the 70s grime and dirt and brown, like, clothing everywhere. The newer ones are a little more stylized. They're that early 2000s edgy, I bet. If we went back and watched them, they'd be kind of like Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake a bit.
Austin taking shots at the fashions of the 70s.
Hey, we've done some movies where it's real colorful fashion, and we've done some where it's straight up brown suits wall to wall. All the way through the 90s.
Yeah. I'm sure you can still find some brown suit movies nowadays.
Yeah. But they're set in the 70s. Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
That's a brown suit movie.
Good Guys.
Oh, I hated that one.
That's a brown suit movie.
It's a category of movie. Doesn't matter what happens in it, just the wardrobe choices. I'm leaving. This is a brown suit movie. All right. So, how long ago did you see this? What year is this, Josh?
It's 2000 some. Here, let me check.
Do you really like sushi?
No, well, I don't. Okay. I think the process, and I think that high quality sushi is probably really good. This was 2011.
Did you see it in theaters?
No.
Oh, okay.
I saw it on YouTube a while after.
Nice.
2011, yeah.
All right, we're gonna lay out all our knives. Different types of fish and
take a little nap.
What's that?
Take a little nap so that we can dream.
I was like, is that part of the sushi make? Is that how he he's a somnambulist sushi maker? He has to
he's like sleep sushis.
I can't make it while I'm awake, but I fall asleep and then I wake up and there's sushi and I eat it for breakfast.
And it's amazing.
If you made yourself
sushi
breakfast
in the
breakfast
world.
And didn't remember it.
God, I wish. Could you imagine if you just woke up and you did your chores in your sleep?
That's what Josh was talking about with his overnight oats. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
That's kind of making breakfast in your sleep,
have
right?
Cooking happen while you're not
making breakfast before you go to sleep.
Well, if you were to eat it, it wouldn't be good. It has to sit overnight. Like,
okay. Oh, okay, sure.
There's a time wait. So you have to
sleep. In that case, I cook all the time. I cook beans in my sleep all the time.
I have got like a row of crock pots just always going with soups.
Yeah. I walk into Justin's kitchen, there's just 20 crock pots bubbling like some sort of Victorian kitchen basement.
Just rows and rows of slow cookers.
Don't touch them. That's for this week, that's for next week, and that's for next month. It's really slow. You should see it when it comes out of there. It's amazing.
It's like a Christmas tree lot, but with beans.
You could cook anything in them. I like how you're just choosing to cook beans. Kat agrees. She likes beans. Thumbs up. The idea of just constantly cooking, like you empty the slow cooker, load it back up with ingredients, eat your food and walk away, and you're like, I already made next meal, I'm set.
Yeah.
I don't like crockpot food that much.
Really? I like slow cooker stuff.
It totally depends on what you're cooking. But yeah, sure. My family used to cook like roast in a crockpot, and it was nasty because it's.
I got one of them.
It gets real tender and soggy. I'm not a fan of tender roast. I might be strange, but I don't like it when it just like is falling apart.
That is strange because most people like tender meat.
Yeah, maybe it was a bad cut. I don't know. It got too tender. Like, I know people are like, oh, it's so nice and tender, but too tender where you couldn't pick it up with a fork. It would just like fall off.
Right. You want it to melt in your mouth, not your hands.
I really don't want meat to melt in my mouth. That's more, I want to chew it. I want to have that sensation. I don't like slippery, slimy meat. That's a bad thing. Well,
I got one of them fancy pressure cookers.
I take that back. I do like eel. That's really slippery, slimy. Love different types of sushi that are meat and that way.
Right.
Yep.
You're not going to enjoy this movie if
those
you don't
are
like
fresh.
Slippery, slimy.
Those aren't in a pressure cooker for a couple hours. I don't want that cooked sushi.
Okay.
So we're going to get to it. We're going to watch Jiro Dreams of Sushi from 2011. Brought to you by Josh. Here on Have You Seen the Podcast. And we're back, having just watched Jiro Dreams of Sushi from 2011.
Yeah,
I guess I have to lead. And so what did you guys think of the movie?
Was that so hard, that one simple question? He's been dreading it all day. He was, like, wringing his hands at work. Like,
yeah, I'm like, they're going to hate this thoughtful documentary about one food type.
How many times did you practice how you were going to ask us that question?
None.
Oh, okay.
He's in the mirror on his work break. Hey, guys, have you... Okay, no, not like that. Hey, guys, have you seen... I haven't done it in forever. How do I do it?
Hey, guys, have you seen...
Voice kept getting caught in my throat. It was awful.
Hey, guys. Oh, they're going to hate me. Well, when you do something you love, do it over and over and over and, you know, never see your family and then force them to do it when they come of age.
Oh my gosh. This movie was kind of like a horror movie.
There was a lot of darkness to this. I know it started off as like, this is this man's honorable life passion and he's a fucking samurai warrior of sushi. Like, this is his pinnacle of evolution. But,
to be fair, though, samurai were probably like that.
Yeah, very devoted. Yeah. And I'm not knocking the devotion, but we get to certain parts in this movie where I'm like, "Holy shit, this is dark!"
Right?
There's some cultural undertones there that are not things you see as much. It's actually sad, you think. I was reading the comments of the video. There's some localization that there's some stuff got lost in translation that makes it even sadder.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do you want to like touch on those parts when we get to them?
Yeah, sure. I'm
and then
not sure
if we
we'll
don't get to
it,
let's do a run through at the end.
No, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Oh, my. So this movie is, to give a recap, is about Jiro and he dreams of making sushi. There, I did it. I did the Josh recap. I did perfect. Yep.
He does make sushi, dreams, and then he does it.
So,
yep. It's not a struggling guy. I mean, he definitely struggled.
There was
but it's
struggle.
Not about
when he was
his
a kid,
struggles.
Yeah.
We catch him later in the game when he's
Whoa,
highly successful.
This guy's
Still going.
He's still alive.
Yeah, he's still going. Sushi.
He's still going. Way to go,
Jiro. Restaurant's open. You can go there right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So Jiro was born in the early 20th century. And oh my god, when he gets to this part where he's like, yeah, this world's tough, you have to make it on your own. I got kicked out of the house at 9 years old.
Yeah, but then later on in the movie, he says 7. Did you catch that?
Okay, he's quite old and lived through both world wars, Justin. Maybe give him a break.
A couple years of...
I just wanted to harp on, like, the...
I know, the discrepancy. Yeah, I caught that, too.
No, not even just the discrepancy, but because it's kind of like... It's like a stereotype of, like... people, old-timers, exaggerating their stories, like, every time it gets longer and, like, worse and worse.
A fishing tale, if you will?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
A no, big, he tells a big his fishing life story. Tale. He was pretty much orphaned, and he said, I don't want to sleep in temples or under bridges, I have to get a job. And at, like, the age of 10, I believe, because he said he'd been doing this for 75 years at the point the movie was made, he became an apprentice learning how to make sushi in a very rigid and traditional world, more so than the one he implements on his apprentices and students.
Right.
Because we're talking about we're not going to get into the like global economic politics of World War II or anything, but Japan was very, very traditional and very authoritarian. Yes. It prided itself on the rules and everything, and you can see this like honor system still flowing through this movie. Like there are points in the movie where he's staring like into your soul and he's like, do the same thing every fucking day.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Right? I was like, no way would I want to do the same. Like, they're talking about how he gets on the bus, like he sits on the same seat on the bus or whatever the heck they were saying. Yes.
And they described him in a certain way that wasn't translated for the movie. Even though I had subtitles on, some of the words and like honorifics and things weren't translated, so I had to look it up. And this first one basically was like type A personality. Cannot stop. Has to be at work. And that shows throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
They talked about how he would wake up and be out of the house by 5 a.m. to hit the fish markets. Have any of you ever been to a fish market?
No.
I love a fish market.
Yeah, I have.
I've never been a fan of fish.
Oh. You go to a fish market and you see it fresh and you taste it fresh, like it might change your mind. I know you're vegan now, but there's some good vegan fish out there. You like that. Vegan fish market's a little different. But a good fish market, love it. You think it's going to stink, but it doesn't. It's all fresh and on ice. You get to pick out all the seafood, the eels and the shrimps.
It's just cool kind of looking at everything.
It was, yeah.
This was it was a fun movie. I enjoyed watching this, and it was so short. Like, man, why can't movies be this length all the time?
Yeah, they get done. They're moving along.
I gotta say, at first, I was like, ooh, I really hope they break down all the ingredients he uses, and I hope they give away his secrets, and they did. But, like, the whole time I'm just, like, waiting for the rice. I'm like, oh, it's such an important part. We got to talk about the rice. And we didn't get to see where it was grown. That's probably a highly guarded secret. But they're like, oh, we cook it with more pressure than any other restaurant. And I'm like, oh.
I had a note written down. It's like, oh, he's going to reveal his secret to his rice. Oh, putting it under immense pressure. What a surprise.
I assume when you get into high class, like Michelin star sushi, the difference between, like, you know, 100 to like 10,000 yen is like cooking it for like 2 seconds more. Yeah, this guy's got it. You know, a science by. Oh, he must.
Yeah, yeah.
He does this like every day. For like they even get to a part where he talks about he goes on vacation for like Chris like takes for Christmas and like that's it.
He hates it.
And there's
it
like
too.
A part like makes a super rare vacation to see his old friends or whatever.
That was really sweet.
Yeah.
He was funnier than I thought he was gonna be. From my elementary school on like Facebook or otherwise.
Yeah. He was funnier than I thought he was gonna be.
I gotta imagine that he's mellowed out over the years.
Yeah.
Like, I know he still goes hard and is super hardcore, but can you imagine him in his late 40s?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the environment that he grew up in was, like, insane, I'm sure.
He would have been a whirlwind. He would have... Oh, I'm surprised that his kids both still are in sushi.
Right.
I know it's expected of them, but times are a-changing.
They probably could have gotten out of it if they really wanted to, but they seem to be okay with it.
They're probably making bank nowadays.
His oldest son, I didn't recognize him, but he was in Tokyo Drift. No, I'm just kidding, because he was talking about wanting to be a race car driver.
F1 driver. Okay, yeah.
And he was talking about how fast his car goes now.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The sushi business is paying good money. We looked up how much the translation and inflation is for, like, the lowest cost dish at this restaurant. Whew, it is quite expensive.
Yeah. But can you imagine a restaurant? Stars? Yeah. Like, a restaurant where you have to do, like, a month in advance, at least.
Mm-hmm.
There's no places like that here, at least not that I know of.
Well, there are. We just don't know about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to eat a good dinner 2 months from now.
you got all that time to fast and get prepared.
Yeah. Also, they were talking about how this is one of the only Michelin star restaurants that's standing room only, 10 chairs, and the bathroom isn't in the premises.
Yeah, that's amazing. He's just that fucking good.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even do crazy stuff. He's just like
the sushi world, and that's one of the things they touch on that I love. He's like, after we all came back from World War II and, like, the traditionalists were dead, he basically said. He's like, we got to experiment. And he's still making very traditional looking sushi, as far as I can tell. I'm not a sushi expert by any means, but he's not doing the Michelin star chef thing we saw in the other movie, which is what I'm going to compare this to, of, like, eccentric plating or making this fish into a fucking gastronomic foam and deconstructing the
Nothing like that. This is way different.
It's not culinary inspired school. It's simple. Neo-traditional.
Like, that's what the food critic guy that kept being interviewed.
Oh my
god! He kept saying like it's traditional.
Or simple, or whatever. That food critic and his mustache.
Yamamoto. Ooh,
he was very John Waters, wasn't he? Like, he is in love with Jiro.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, not as much as Jiro's rice guy, who I think is like.
Physically.
Definitely.
I think he watches him sleep at night is the impression I got.
Like, the rice guy was my favorite character.
Was he? Like, okay.
Holy crap.
Like, this is a movie.
I know. He wasn't a character, but
yeah,
he almost was. Because
He just knows
everything about rice.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks, like, just hearing them talk, like, some of the stuff he said, he definitely has, like, an exclusivity deal with Jiro. He's like, oh, I only sell rice to people he says it's okay to, or something like that.
That's why they might have been joking. I don't think they were joking.
This is
golden fucking rice, Justin. This is $1 million rice we're talking about. Yeah. He was pretty wonderful. He's holding Jiro by the arm, and I just wanted Jiro to, like, yank his arm away and be like, get the fuck off me! I told you this is a business deal!
It's an intense life. He's lived an intense... I guess not. He seems pretty relaxed.
His life was intense. Like,
in his own way? I don't know. Compared to other chefs, though.
Well, yeah, but you're thinking about in the Western world where it's about immediately rushing dishes out. This is what I really respect about this this prep is they do take their time. They get quality ingredients. They care. They taste everything. Obviously, they make sure every step of the way is going to result in the best tasting product.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you see in a lot of restaurants.
No, absolutely not.
No, not.
Just like he says he doesn't care about money, and I kind of laugh. It's like, of course you don't care about money because your cheapest dish is $400 or something.
They keep a bunch of people in this keep saying we don't care about money and then talking about money. So that is a little fishy.
I mean, if they're buying, like, you know, bazillion-dollar fish at the market every day, I imagine, like, a good amount of that goes back into the
business. I'm sure. It definitely seemed like, you know, as someone who's reached the pinnacle of their
art.
Profession or art or whatever.
Same thing, like, in this case.
He should enjoy some extra trappings and stuff, you know?
Like his son's amazing car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get to see much of his personal life, though.
I wonder if he does have any vices. That's the entire point of the
movie. He doesn't have one.
He seems like the kind that, like, he treats himself by, like, smoking a cigar once every 5 years.
You know how he treats himself, Josh? He has an exclusivity deal with a guy who makes $1 million rice.
Yeah,
that's what he treats himself with.
You know, we didn't see his bedroom and living quarters for a reason, and it's because it's a twin mattress, no sheets, on the floor, with maybe not even a mattress. It might just be like a rolled up newspaper for a pillow, and he's like laying there, and he's like, I can't fucking wait to make sushi, and just like saying that all night. He can't sleep.
He does get to eat like high class sushi every day forever. So that's
and anything else he wants, because he could walk around to any restaurant in the world. And just
eat it. Of course. Mm. I think that was one of the things he did talk about that he enjoys is eating good food.
Yeah, he says if
and he's like, and he considers it part of his job to like experience good food.
That means it's a tax write-off.
That's whatever he talked about that dude that made it seem like he had a superpower.
He wish he had his taste buds.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus, what is this dude's, like, he's like, sense of smell is on another level. So I'm just imagining, like,
that dude
some
walks
kind of,
in
like,
and he's like, there was a woman, she was from Italy, she ate here 2 weeks ago. Her name was Maria.
It's the kind of comments you can only make if you've been in the food business for over 70 years.
Or you're Professor X. He's right next to the kid who is turning the TV on and off with his eyes.
Be quiet. Do you smell that? Someone has placed a bomb in Paris. And it will go off in 3 hours.
I can smell that you're sweating.
Yeah, no shit. That's your super nose power. I can smell that you're sweating.
I know.
10 miles ago, I ran over a skunk. I don't know if you could tell, but I have a super nose.
Love how his son has like a runoff business of people who eat with him because they're too intimidated by him.
Right. Like it's a not the full restaurant, but the express version. At the airport or something, but still like $350
a plate. Yeah, right.
Because your dad's place is way too intimidating because he watches me eat every bite of sushi. Here,
stares into your soul as you eat it and scolds you if you don't eat it fast enough.
He's just trying to establish your gender and your preferred hand, Justin. It's part of the process.
Yeah.
That's one. Like overall, I did appreciate the movie. We'll talk about that later. But one scene where I could not sit still, I was cracking up, was that scene where all these super bougie business people are eating and the fucking critic is there just lauding him the entire time.
Yeah.
That got a bit much.
Yeah. There are parts of this that got, like, a little... Even though it was so short, it did kind of drag a little in the middle to me.
And that was a bit much on the lighter side. We haven't talked about a whole bunch of like the darker moments in this.
One more light moment I want to talk about because it did amuse me was the story about the kids with getting their first Coke, and he thought that he had to shake it to get the flavors from the bottom.
And that moment still haunts me to this day.
Yeah, that was a little sad that he's like, my brother probably still holds a grudge against me for that. And his brother's just like emphatically nodding his head next to him like, you son of a bitch.
We saved up months to buy our first Coke. That was pretty silly. Pretty sweet.
Yeah. And sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poverty is sad.
Yeah. I couldn't quite establish the timeline, like, if they were... Oh, they said they were poor when they grew up because they couldn't afford to eat sushi every
day.
Yeah,
that was his kid's... That was his kid's story.
I couldn't figure out if that meant they were poor or if sushi was a more elitist thing back then. Because now he's like, it's more available to the masses.
Sure. I think it was probably a more elitist thing. I imagine he wasn't... Like, it took a while for him to be... really successful, and he probably put most of his money towards, like Josh said, buying the really like the best ingredients.
Oh yeah, and imagine trying to make it as the top like sushi chef in Japan.
Yeah,
it's what the country is known for. It's amazing Japanese food, but like starting from the bottom, you have to learn from like the right masters. You gotta meet the right people, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was out there every day at the fish markets and the rice auctions, I assume. That's what I want to see, secret rice auctions. They seem a lot more secretive than the fish markets. We spend a lot of time at the fish markets.
We do spend a lot of time at the fish markets.
Which I like.
I wanted to see the rice farm too, though. I did.
Was anyone else curious what the secret sauce he was brushing on was? It can't just be soy sauce. And if so,
it kind of seemed like it was soy sauce.
It could just be soy sauce.
What?
It kind of seemed like
you've seen the rice and fish. Like, who was where they sourced the soy sauce from?
Right.
It's just in the back, and there's a huge plastic jug of like Kikkoman's.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's just gonna.
He's like, listen, I've gone to every soy sauce manufacturer, big and small, throughout the country. Kikkoman's, it works perfect.
One thing that he said while he was talking about how he has to experience food, I noticed that he didn't differentiate that he needs to only experience good food. In fact, I think he even said that he needed to experience the good and the bad. Does that mean he goes out and like purposely eats trash food every once in a while?
Ah, McDonald's. This will.
I guess he's got to have a scale, right?
Reset my parameter. Yeah, he just eats like a Big Mac and violently throws up all over the place.
Yeah.
Immediately.
It's
afterwards.
Like what we do in the shadows.
He just scribbles on a notepad.
Not on purpose, by any means. I hear KFC has plant-based chicken now.
I've tried it. It's pretty good.
Have you? All right.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to a KFC in forever.
Yeah, me either.
What is it? Are they just nuggies?
It's Beyond. It's kind of like Beyond Nuggets, but they're a little thicker. But yeah, it's nuggets.
Nice. Just the commercial was kind of scary.
It's a bit like Soylent Green in the packaging.
That's what it reminded me of, and I couldn't quite place it.
I think that it's doing that on purpose, but
oh, no. We're just becoming self-aware dystopia. Yeah.
I mean, there's already like a food replacement thing called Soylent.
I know, it's the Silicon Valley bro shake. I've heard it's terrible.
It is. I only tried it because I was driving through my old stomping grounds of Roswell on my way to Hobbs one time a couple years ago. And I stopped at this guy's, like, this new restaurant called, like, Famous Jack's Best Burger. I don't know what it is. Something ridiculous.
But it drew you in.
But it's a burger place. And it drew me in because he said that he had a vegan burger. So I went and ate it. And he, like, talked to me a bit We talked about veganism for a little while, and he was really into Soylent, and he gave me a package, like a full package. It wasn't what he gave me couldn't have been all that cheap.
Not a trial package.
Like it was not a trial package. It was like a full package.
Didn't like it.
So maybe he didn't like it all that much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Kind of makes sense. He's like, no, you'll love it. Here you go, kid. So this sushi looked really good. Made me really hungry for sushi. I am curious what the sauce is, though, because they went into almost this every other step of making it. And has anybody tried this egg cake before?
No.
Oh.
The tamago yaki.
I liked that character, too.
It's a pretty traditional sushi, from what I understand.
I liked the guy that they had making the cake, and like he was talking about how it took him forever to get it right, and
that
they
was
like
a fun purposely scene, yeah.
they purposely showed him bumbling around the kitchen, like dropping shit.
Yeah, it seems like everybody who works there enjoyed it, at least on camera. I know in the other documentary, this may be because the other documentary was American and the people in it were like, I don't give a fuck what my boss thinks. But there were more like confrontations and more drama in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really all I have to compare it to. I don't watch a lot of cooking shows.
Me either.
Do you, Josh, since you brought both cooking documentaries to the table, you like...
Yeah, I do, actually. Director, this movie, David Gell, does a series on Netflix called Chef's Table. Which is like a high class produced like food series where each episode they interview like a different like chef.
Oh, I like Nailed It.
That's a fun one on Netflix. But I've heard Chef's Table is really fun to watch because, like you said, it's very good quality ingredients and like high class presentation and stuff.
Yeah. It looks really nice. The people interview like are, you know, masters of their craft, like Jiro here. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and that's what made this movie interesting, is focusing in on those tiny details and showing the passion in every single ingredient, grain of rice and fish that goes into it. You're like, how can they talk about this for 80 minutes? But easily. It's their life passion. It's their entire work.
It's always interesting to see people really passionate about something, and it kind of almost doesn't matter what that something is.
Sure, you know? Yeah. Luckily for him, it was a career and his life's passion. So.
Right, yeah. It's not always feasible.
But,
Oh, Austin, you know, I do recall a couple times me and you enjoying a piece of sushi? Some fresh air and watching Gordon Ramsay yell at people.
Oh, yeah. I'll watch some YouTube clips of cooking. I love cooking stuff. I don't watch a lot of documentaries or shows about it, but like prep work and instructional stuff, I'll watch the hell out of. Like,
that's not what
recipes.
We watched that for.
No, that was to watch Gordon Ramsay yell at people.
Gordon Ramsay's normal YouTube is pretty chill, actually.
It is. Okay,
yeah. It is.
There are two
sides.
There's the one side where he goes to restaurant hell, and that's why I love it, because these were the restaurants and hotels that were just failing. Remember, Justin, you remember the one we watched was like a mountain lodge owned by a couple that had been divorced for like 20 years. They were hippies.
The Bud Hut.
And all the dude did was like smoke weed and play guitar.
Those swinger parties.
And hold late night like stoner jam band parties. And Gordon Ramsay's like, why the fuck am I here? They don't want to own a hotel. They just want to own a party cabin.
Right. And guess what? You do. Congratulations.
Okay. Yeah, then the other half of Gordon Ramsay is him at home, like, cooking with his kids, and it's super chill. Yeah.
He's actually in thirds because there's, like, whatever he's just doing his YouTube channel.
I don't watch the reality TV show stuff.
There's the ones with his, like, not with his kids, but just kids in general.
Oh, okay.
Because he becomes, like really, really nice around kids.
Right, because he's been doing reality TV for decades. And
he was
known for, like, yelling at adults, but then they got the show and people were like, he's going to yell at the kids, but he's, of course, not going to because they'd all be in tears.
Right.
Because half the adults were put in tears by him.
Yeah.
So, a lot less drama in this one than any of that.
His son had a lot of longing looks.
One scene that stuck out to me was the shrimp man. They're at the farmer's market, and the guy dealing in prawns is like, every day you strive towards perfection. Some days you realize that can't be obtained. And then you get depressed. And he just stares, and the camera's, like, staying on him for a good minute.
Yeah. There was another one just like that where his oldest son was talking about people coming and going really quickly. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, there are some people who come and they leave after they come in the morning and they're gone by night. And there's just, like, a full minute of a close-up of him staring. And you can just see him thinking, like... It just seems like, oh, I wish I was one of those that left the first day.
He says it. The first line he says in the movie, I believe, is, I thought I would have retired a long time ago. And then, like, the younger son is talking about how if he thinks it's fair that the younger son got a restaurant and the older son didn't, and the older son jumps in, he's like, no, not at all. That whole scene with the two of them was pretty funny.
Yeah. He's just like, no, he can have this restaurant. I get.
Yeah, if you outlive your dad, sure.
I get this one if I'm worthy and live for 300 years.
When I'm 67, I get my own restaurant.
Like, right before Jiro keels over, he fires his son.
Ooh. You have no home
to return. Promote someone above him.
Yeah, you have no home to come back to. What
fucking
was the
cold? Fucking yeah, stone cold.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what it says on the back of every menu.
You have no home to come back to. Or stone cold.
Oh, yeah. Just stone cold.
Yeah.
Part of me when I was watching, seeing, I'm like, that's clear, like a saying, right? Oh, it's not a saying, is it? Like,
what did he call himself?
Who?
The person who does the same thing every day.
There was a word for it. I didn't look up this translation. Josh, do you have that one?
I don't off the top of my head. No.
Oh, we're terrible at this.
Hmm.
You know, at least I thought to
there
put
is a
the
word.
Subtitles on this one and not just try and figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched with subtitles too.
You always do. Me and Josh are the ones that just try and, like, lip read.
I do. I like my subtitles.
I wonder what this would be like without subtitles. I bet you could get the vibe.
Yeah.
Sure.
From all the stares.
Austin, can you imagine Matt Mercer going to eat at Yiro's sushi restaurant? It'd be the most intense staring contest ever.
It would be like a wizard battle in Harry Potter. Like, lasers would come out of their eyes and meet in the middle, and plasma sparks would fly out. It would be like a Jedi mind. What's that movie we watched with the psychics? Scanners, where they made each other's heads explode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot like that scene.
It'd be like that. As Matt Mercer's, like, going into a detailed description of what the sushi smells, feels, and tastes like for an hour.
But
giving away no emotional reaction. He's just talking about it.
Every round uses a different hand to pick it up with. Can't figure out if I'm right or left-handed. So, Josh, do you have any more of these movies that you've seen? These cooking documentaries?
Like cooking food documentaries?
Yeah. With dark undertones.
I had no... Oh, but I want to put more on that list, because I really like these types of, like, real...
If you're searching for this kind of movie, I don't think you have to type in dark undertones. That kind
that's
of
a, yeah, that's what I was going to
no,
say.
No, I assume every movie about chefs, based like, on what these I've, are all dark.
Based on what I've seen, if you're making a movie about a top chef, probably pretty dark.
You gotta find the drama, and most times it's just right there.
The secret to good food isn't love, it's hate.
The road to perfection is paved with hatred. Darkness.
And then you make that perfect piece of sushi, and...
Is it worth it?
The guy who looks like John Waters, who writes for the paper, can't stop gushing over you.
Yes, totally worth...
Life well
spent. I'm sure it is. He seems very satisfied with his life.
Maybe.
He does.
Satisfied as in he can sit down on the beach for a day?
That's not what he likes.
Yeah, he's doing what he likes then. And still doing it 10, 12 years later at this point.
You'd have to. He'd have to enjoy it. Like, there's no way he'd stick with it.
Yeah, he said he loved every minute, never hated a moment of making it. And that's something I believe. He comes through pretty honestly in that aspect.
Yeah, and I can't ever pretend like I would understand what it's like to be a type A personality, but, you know, I can respect that they think differently than I do.
Josh, you're pretty close out of the three of us, I think, to being like a type A.
I guess, but like I don't think I could approach like Jir, but like that.
No,
driven. Like he made a comment where it's like he doesn't like vacations. He doesn't like going on vacation. He just wants to keep working.
This is another level. This is why there's a movie
always
made
about
him.
Yeah, we're not saying that at all.
I'm just saying you wake up early on days that you don't have work.
Yeah, yeah. I work on days that I don't have work, and I wake up early. And I suppose.
You were obsessed with making sure you were the first person in class in high school.
Right. That's, yeah, I guess I've always been like that.
So there's a little tinge of that. Josh dreams of board games, maybe a movie someday.
I wonder what it's like for a job like Jir, though, where, like, I imagine a good amount of it is the same, right? Yeah, your ingredients vary slightly and stuff, but, like, this guy's been doing it for, like, over 8 years.
Every day is exactly the same.
Like, is that cool or awful, right?
That's him.
Like, go in and know what you're doing all time, every day, 7 days a week, 364 days a
year. He like obviously it. Seems to like it, but I don't think I would.
I don't think anybody around him likes it as much as him.
Nope, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me want to go, just to, you know, try. I don't like sushi at all, but, you know, I kind of want to see what the top of the mountain is like.
100% in a second.
I'm vegan, and if I got the opportunity to eat it, I probably would.
Yeah, yeah, of course. This is top tier. This is the pinnacle of sushi. Like, of course I'm going to try it. And hopefully spend more than, like, 15 minutes.
You're not.
I
allowed.
Think it's a pretty lengthy thing. Like they did.
No. He said each meal costs. It takes 15 minutes. The
was
critic,
it 15 minutes?
He's like,
yeah. That's
why it's
one of
the
things.
Expensive meal in the world, like per like time.
Right. Because
I guess
each
sushi is like a bite. So.
He's got it down to like which dominant hand you have, so he can get it to you closer, so that you can eat it at just the perfect time. Like,
it looked good. I really like that scene in particular. I know I was talking about like it making me laugh. That's after the scene, like when they're actually serving the sushi and he's making it and it's all the close-ups. That's really good. It made me hungry for sushi. I also like when he's critiquing the son and he's like, oh no, the fish is too thick. Way too much wasabi. It's good.
Wasn't that the son that
the was son critiquing, giving... Yes, the apprentice.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just like, yeah,
he said good job. I was like, whoa, just throwing out the good jobs.
Yeah, that's like the first time the guy's ever heard that, probably.
Did you not see the tear rolling down his eye?
I right. Was watching yeah.
They zoom in on.
And then, oh my god, so much Philip Glass music playing in this movie. There were like 12 Philip Glass songs.
Yeah, the director really likes Philip Glass.
Holy shit, yeah. I could tell.
Does he have a documentary about Philip Glass?
No, he's just a really big fan of Philip Glass.
Oh, okay.
He uses him a lot in his other stuff, too?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Okay. It was
Maybe they're friends.
It was Philip Glass and three classical songs, and that was the entire soundtrack for this movie.
He has a comment about his use of Philip Glass in this film.
Ooh, let's hear it.
He says, in hindsight, I think it works because his music is a kind of metaphor for Jiro's work ethic. It's repetitive, but also builds on itself and escalates. It's the same Jiro's work. Because every day he's going, he's doing the same routine and trying to do everything exactly the same, but just reaching for that one step of improvement. And I feel like the music's doing the same thing, so they match perfectly.
Okay.
And I'm glad that I've watched this movie after I started getting really into martial arts, because I don't think I would have understood as much of that as I do having done that. Not that I've done anywhere near as much as this guy has, but, you know, Austin, you know what it's like.
Oh, yeah. Anything you dedicate yourself to, there's that really popular thing people talk about, the 10,000 hours it takes to master any craft or art. Yeah. When he's getting into, like, the minutiae, definitely help.
Right.
He's like it even becomes like metaphorical and spiritual at a point for him where he's talking about it, and he's like, I learned how to do a lot of this in my dreams, which is pretty cool. Like, he saw different sushi in his dreams and woke up and was like, oh my god, nobody's ever put urchin on sushi before or something.
Right. Or he talks about how he's like, I used to think that I had a pretty good serving technique with octopus. We would massage it for 30 minutes.
That octopus.
But now I do it for 45 to 50 minutes, and it's so much better.
Are they rubbing it in some sort of brine, or is that just octopus slime that comes out of it when they massage it?
Yeah, it looked like some kind of battering. I don't know.
Sure, sure. Octopus is really good when it's good, but it's really rubbery when it's bad. So I understood that.
I think he talked about that. He's like, yeah. He said the octopus can very easily be rubbery.
What was I going to say? Totally spaced. You threw me off with the octopus. What else have we got in the translations, Josh?
So I noticed some, like, I, you know, I take this with a grain of salt, but I did see a couple comments about this on the video. Oh, that there's a line in where he talks about Jiro talks, but you know, he only has his two sons.
Uh-oh.
To like supersede. Apparently, the translation left out, according to these commenters, the fact that he has a daughter. And I'm under the impression implies that, like, you know. And either an old mindset on Jiro's part of, like, women don't do this kind of thing in the workplace, or just, like, maybe it's a sushi thing where, like, traditional sushis are male. I don't know.
That's
but
pretty dark, though. She was entirely left out of the movie.
Yeah. If, entirely,
yeah, if those commenters are too believed, yeah, that's pretty dark.
And I also got the impression that his wife might have passed on. She might be dead. But who's to know, because he's never said a goddamn thing about her this whole movie.
I'm pulling up the good old wiki on him, and it just says that he has two sons.
Okay, maybe it was some extrapolation
But
we don't see the wife. You're right.
Yeah.
The wiki could have come from a source that isn't as good as Josh's. Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know.
Obama said that it was the best sushi he's had in his life. Wow. So anyway.
I was going to say, have you guys ever learned anything in dreams? Like, in your dreams, a skill?
Not work-related.
No, it doesn't have to be work-related. What'd you learn?
I don't know. I've had dreams where I dream like I'm getting up and getting prepared for the day, and then I wake up and I haven't gotten ready and I get mad. Does that count?
No, that's totally different.
I just have nightmares.
That's more along the nightmare category. When I was in art school, I learned how to paint clouds in a dream. It was something I wanted to learn. They weren't teaching it in class, and I had a dream one night where I had like someone there teaching me how, and I woke up and I was like, holy shit, I know how to paint clouds. And I did, and I went on to paint clouds.
Can't say that I have experienced that.
Let's get back to nightmares. Do you have nightmares about sushi, Josh?
I have nightmares about, like, school, mostly.
Still? You have nightmares about school?
Like, not that I'm in school currently. Like, all the nightmares I can recall, like,
over
the
last school. Oh, okay, I thought you were still waking up.
Like, I'm in school and, like, late for a fit.
Like, you have a say, like, you, I was like, do you have nightmares about your being, like, you're your age still in Roswell, like, going to college?
Josh, you're the oldest freshman we have, and you haven't moved
up. And I'm 40.
Now, please try and learn the quadratic equation. That's pretty scary. That's like Nightmare on Elm Street quality.
I feel like I watch way too much TV because my dreams become episodic. Like, they'll continue where they left off.
Last week in Justin's dream.
Kinda.
I'm just imagining the recap, like, as you're falling asleep. You're like, no, not this one. Change the channel.
Kinda.
Not another police drama.
I've definitely had nightmares.
I think that's, but... yeah, I think everybody does. Pretty common.
Yeah.
But,
you know, drinking, making sure I get some nice breaths of fresh air right before I go to sleep usually helps me.
Drink plenty of fresh water, yep. haven't dreamt of sushi, but after this movie, I might, because I know the supermarket has vegetarian sushi, and all of them are on sale for $5 tomorrow, so I might run by and get some. I know it's not going to be anything like this.
Yeah, you can dream though. Pretend.
I can put on some Philip Glass and stand in my kitchen for 15 minutes with my eyes closed, eating.
Just have cats stare at you while you're eating the entire time.
Oh, my cat will be staring at me if it's. bastard stares at you if you're eating Doritos. He ate Doritos when they fell on the ground the other day. Just unflavored corn chip.
And I was over at friend Melanie's house, and her cat snatched a Taki from my hand and ate it.
Spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Did it like it, or did it like freak out?
It kind of it like ate it, but it didn't go for more, so I don't think it liked it.
Okay. Yeah.
But he ate it.
I don't think their food is seasoned.
Nope.
Cat food?
Yeah. Like, I don't know do cats and dogs have, like, the same receptors for spiciness we do?
I'm sure spicy is gonna hurt anything, because we use, like, mace on bears in bear spray.
Right.
I'm sure spicy, if you're, like, a mammal and have this, you know, taste and smell, I'm sure spicy is gonna affect you the same way as us.
Yeah.
Because I had a cat once that would try and get scraps out of the trash, and
Isn't it like a plant's chicken, defense? Sorry.
I put like chicken in the trash that had been like marinated in sriracha one time, and the cat pulled it out and was like nibbling at it, but also kind of frothing at the mouth because it couldn't handle the spicy. It was getting like all spitty.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Isn't it like a defense mechanism for plants to develop spiciness so things don't eat them? And we're like,
Turn the tables on them. I'm going to serve you at Buffalo Wild Wings, you stupid pepper. Yeah, this made me want some good wasabi, too.
Yeah. I probably never had good wasabi.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the wasabi you get in the States is just horseradish colored green.
That's what I've heard.
But I like horseradish.
Sure.
It's pretty good. Josh, are you a fan of sushi? I know you went to Japan. Did you get, not gyros, obviously, but did you get some good sushi while you were there?
I did have some, what I was told was pretty good sushi. We went to the old fish market in Tokyo. And had some. I am not a big fan of sushi.
You didn't like it?
There's like a couple that I'm okay with, but they're pretty basic stuff. I was having to choke back a couple things I ate. So it was a lesson in civility, if anything.
Oh yeah, I'm sure going to Japan in all can be a lesson like that. How to proper etiquette. I really like the eel. That's a good one.
Oh yeah, eel's good. I'm fine with amazing. Eel.
The urchin, that can be interesting. It looked like these urchin rolls he was serving are enormous. I've never seen them that big.
Yeah.
He also said each portion's like 20 pieces. So it is a super high price, but I was really scared when he said the starter rate is like $450 or whatever. And it was showing him serve piece by piece. I was really worried that it was going to be like, oh, this piece is that much, and that's the starter.
Yeah, no, I think...
Oh, no, it's for the whole course.
It's that much for all of it. It's got to be. It's got to be.
Absolutely.
I agree. But at the beginning, they didn't establish that, and I was like, how expensive does this place get?
This piece of sushi is $400.
You never know.
One piece. Yeah.
There's YouTube videos where, like, little fucking rich kids go out and eat dinner and, like, make me the most expensive pizza you can, put grated truffle on it and gold flakes, and it turns out it's, like, a $75,000 pizza.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what we're talking about here, thankfully. And before we wrap up, I was really thankful that they mentioned overfishing and the commercialization of fishing and how that does affect everyone. Like, it makes it harder to get, which make the prices go up, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But that was good to see there. They weren't just, like, there was so much silent.
You mean they have enough foresight to be like, hey, if we overfish, they'll all go away and then no one can do this.
He literally said that. And he's like, business should really be a balance of profit and sustainability, which you don't hear anybody say here.
No. Yeah.
Say
that in a boardroom in America, you'll get thrown out the window.
Maybe they'll make you the face of the company so it appears woke.
Yeah.
But this was 2011. This was before woke was a concept.
Mm-hmm.
Good choice, Josh. It was cool.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it.
But it was a wild ride. It was, had its ups, it had its downs.
Would you recommend it?
Would I recommend it? Yeah, I would. It's a nice, like, slice of life. He's still going strong, too. You get to learn
amazing.
A lot about...
96 years old, still going strong.
Not sushi. You don't learn too much about the history of sushi, which I kind of would. If it was 10 minutes longer and we went into, like, a slideshow about the history of sushi, I'd appreciate that for context. But it's tight. It does linger in a couple of spots.
I don't think you need to add 10 minutes. I think you could shave away 10 minutes of some of the stuff that happened in here and add that in. I would like to see it. But also, I'm really glad that this movie is, like, an hour and 20 minutes long.
Totally works for me. Yeah. So, Justin,
if this was like a 2-hour movie, I don't know if I could recommend it.
Imagine how much deeper you could go.
No way.
Do you recommend it though?
For yeah. what it is? Like I said, I kind of always enjoy watching someone who's like really passionate almost about anything. And to the if there's one thing about this guy, obsession. He's very passionate.
Yeah. Yeah.
His obsession, honestly, scared me.
Yes.
And I'm glad to know I'm not the only one, because apparently most people find him intimidating.
His son had to open a restaurant because there are people who are like, it's like the best sushi in the world, but he's so intense. You mentioned Matt Mercer. Like, some people probably couldn't handle being in that D&D group with that eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, watching it a second time, I assume you haven't watched it more than twice.
Correct.
Would you recommend it?
I think I would. Just because food documentaries are a thing that I assume most people don't watch.
Yeah.
And this is a good introduction to what you're getting to. And I think it, you know, would give people, well, even people like don't eat sushi, like an appreciation for food in general.
Definitely. And it's fun to see such a, I don't want to say simple, because it's not a simple food. There's obviously a lot of care and preparation in it, but like something that's not even, it's not even, that's derogatory, not plated as extravagantly or using like these extravagant ingredients. It keeps it very elegant. It's just the best fish.
I think it's okay to say that, like, I'm pretty sure he self-described it as simple a couple times.
Okay.
It's cool because you can fall, right? Like, I might not understand
exactly,
the difference between, like, massaging an octopus for 30 minutes or 45 minutes, but, like, I can see, this is the thing with rice and a specific kind of seafood. Like, it's not some complicated, like you were saying earlier, Austin, like gastronomic deconstruction,
right?
That I can't even like follow.
It's not 14 types of mushroom and a rare wine you can only get from this region, and a type
exactly
of, like, squash pasta you can only find in another region, all put together with an.
But then at the same time, he has secret rice no one else can get.
He has secret rice and a sauce that.
But I at least know what rice is.
Yeah. How much better could a secret rice be?
You have no idea.
I hear a lot on sushi stuffs that the vinegar rice is like the soul of sushi. It's not the fish, it's the rice.
Sure.
Apparently.
And it has to be served at body temperature. I found that really interesting.
I got that from sushi. I'm not even a sushi fan, but I got that because the meat kind of seems like it's like a garnish almost, because it's always placed on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said, it's the combination of the soy sauce, the fish, the rice, and the wasabi together. He described umami in almost a way I'm not familiar. Like, here in the West, we talk about it as a savory concept, like beef broth or mushrooms. Like, that flavor we really don't have a name for, that's between salty and savory, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And here in the movie, people described umami as almost ASMR like orgasmic kind of, like an experience rather than a flavor profile.
Right.
So that was kind of
interesting. But then they also described stuff that is, like, we know has umami.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like soy sauce, kind of.
I'm going to have to look deeper into this concept.
Yeah.
Cool. Recommends all the way around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty rare.
It's all recommends.
Just a super rare episode.
Yeah.
Neither of us have seen it. It's Josh's. Recommends all the way around. And it's tight 80-something minutes. If you want to listen to any of the other episodes we've talked about tonight, you can find them on podcast.com or the Apple Podcast app under Have You Seen or Amazeballs or What About Wrestling. You can search us by FapCheck. You can find us on YouTube under FapCheck and Facebook under FapCheck and FapCheck@gmail.com. You can also find more content and videos over at Pit Friends on YouTube and Facebook. That's more of a tabletop role-playing game channel Justin and I are getting started with a couple of friends.
Oh, yeah.
Recording tonight's almost as long as the movie.
Have you seen...